A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall stand at the head of your calendar. You shall reckon it the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th of this month, every one of your families must procure for itself a lamb, one apiece for each household. If a family is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join the nearest household in procuring one, and shall share in the lamb, in proportion to the number of persons who partake of it. The lamb must be a year old male and without blemish. You may take it from either the sheep or the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, and then, with the whole assembly of Israel present, it shall be slaughtered during the evening twilight. They shall take some of its blood and apply it to the two doorposts and the lintel of every house in which they partake of the lamb. That same night, they shall eat its roasted flesh with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. This is how you are to eat it, with your loins girt, sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. You shall eat it like those who are in flight. It is the Passover of the Lord. For on this same night, I will go through Egypt, striking down every firstborn of the land, both man and beast, and executing judgment on all the gods of Egypt, I, the Lord. But the blood will mark the houses where you are. Seeing the blood, I will pass you over. Thus, when I strike the land of Egypt, no destructive blow will come upon you. This day shall be a memorial feast for you, which all your generations shall celebrate with pilgrimage to the Lord as a perpetual institution." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ.
Our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ.
How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call upon the name of the Lord.
Our blessing cup is the communion with the blood of Christ.
Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds.
Our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ.
To you I will offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people.
Our blessing cup is a communion with the blood of Christ.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I give you a new commandment, says the Lord. Love one another as I have loved you.
Praise to you, Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you realize what I have done for you? Before the feast of the Passover that Jesus had so long to desire and desired to celebrate with his disciples, but in particular his apostles, he knew that they were not ready to receive what he had desired to give them. He knew that they would not be able to exercise the mandate that he has given to them and was giving to them until after they would be washed clean in his blood. And so we see tonight in this moment of grace, for in as much as we commemorate what happened for the first time 2,000 plus years ago, since Jesus has transitioned from the flesh into the sacrament of the church, We now experience it anew in each Mass, in each liturgical celebration, because he remains with us in mystery. And so everything that we're experiencing tonight is really happening as if for the first time in mystery. And what Jesus does in this scene of the gospel, and it may strike us that we're not given the institution narrative that we find in the gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this may be perhaps because of the fact that John is dealing with a community that has become so familiar with what we hear recounted in the second reading by St. Paul in his epistle to the Corinthians. His community of believers may have become so familiar with it that they have forgotten the essence of what the Eucharist is meant to set in motion, namely the action of love, which is always grounded in humility, in service, selfless service to the other. And so, following the meal, Jesus stands up from the table. And no doubt this catches their attention. What is he doing? What is he about to do? He strips himself of his outer garment. You could say he tore the veil of the sanctuary in such a way that it now reveals the vulnerability of the God-man in the humanity he assumed, so as to prepare them for the horror and the scandal of what will be coming the next night or the next day. Jesus takes up the role of a slave, something unheard of and unthought of. He is attending to the washing of the feet. They didn't even allow Jewish slaves to do that. That might be relegated to a child, but no one of the stature of Jesus recognized as a rabbi would ever do such a thing. But Jesus, again, is revealing to us a new commandment. He's revealing to us today, he's establishing a new and eternal covenant. He's taking the rites, the rituals of his ancestors, of the Jewish people, and he's making it something that is now for all people. And it is this action that he is performing that impresses upon the minds of the disciples, but especially we know Peter remonstrating with him. He is fully aware. Maybe the others were not bold enough to speak it, but Peter, he's always going to say what's going on. Whether it's going to be putting his foot in his mouth or not, he's going to say what's going on. He calls it out. He says, "What are you doing? You are not going to wash my feet. If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me." But then not just my feet, then my whole head. He wants everything now. He wants to be all in. This Peter. And of course, Jesus clarifies for him the significance of why it's not necessary for his whole body to be washed, but the feet definitely must be attended to. Now, you know, that was a very uneasy thing for someone to let another person wash their feet. You know, they say the ancient tradition, in the mindset of the Jews at the time, it was that the feet were kind of equivalent to one's private parts. That would be like exposing one's private parts. That's how delicate a situation it was. So you can see how they're all startled. But Jesus is establishing his church in such a way that they have to understand the need to condescend, to come down. All the lessons he has been teaching them about what constitutes greatness in the kingdom, that he's come not to be served but to serve, all of this is culminating in this night. Jesus is establishing this once and for all. And what they will understand is that they cannot become the sacrament of this action apart from him. They will extend this mystery of love and mercy to the whole world. For in washing their feet, Jesus gives all of humanity access to divine mercy and to the possibility, the very real possibility of reconciliation with God. Before the feast of Passover, every man who would be ordained a priest in the person of Jesus Christ was set apart to be that sacrament which would be the towels that would wash, that would dry down those who were humble enough to say, Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof, but only say the word. Those who would be so humble as to receive the cleansing, the waters of baptism, which regenerate one into a new creation. Before the priest would even begin to be able to announce the words of absolution in the sacrament of mercy and confirmation, in confession, and yes, even to be administrators of the sacrament of confirmation as an extension of the apostles throughout the ages, they themselves must be cleansed in the waters and the blood that flow from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. All of this is manifested. Jesus makes this present in the moment. He's the God-man. And all of this would mean nothing and would amount to nothing if after he's done doing what he's done and what he continues to do in every age and every generation through the person of the priest and the members of his mystical body, the church, it means nothing unless when we answer the question he poses to us tonight. Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so. I have given you a model. I have given you an example that as I've done for you, you must now be willing to do for each other. We are being reminded today that by allowing Jesus to serve us in the capacity that he does, that what we receive in every Eucharist is meant to empower us to go forth with regard for our brothers and sisters, to be that movement of love and mercy without exception to everyone in need as the Spirit prompts us. So as we see the action of Jesus in me, his unworthy servant, tonight, let us all bear it in mind. We have to answer that question. And to the extent that we answer it with the conviction of heart will determine to what extent we will carry out what he says must be done. You know, tradition calls this Maundy Thursday, coming from the Latin mandatum, which means command. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. God love you.